Just 9 days before he killed himself, he turned in an English paper entitled "The Impact of Smartphone Use on the Mental Health of Students."
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community. Joining us is Democratic Senator Sally Harrell of Atlanta. She co-chaired a committee with a long name, the Senate Impact of Social Media and Artificial Intelligence on Children and Platform Privacy Protection Study Committee. And once again with us is Representative Todd Jones, Chairman of the House Committee on Technology and Infrastructure Innovation. So thank you for joining us. So much to talk about, but yours is a little bit more serious, but we want to get through to it. Your study committee with your co-chair, Senator Sean Still, on social media and AI spent months and very long hours listening to testimony. You have wanted to actually have that kind of a study committee for a while. So tell us about it and why that was so important to you.
Yes, I had actually filed that study committee a couple years before. It was important to me because I saw my own children and how they responded to the smartphone and their friends. I remember getting together with moms and their kids had gotten early exposure to pornography and were traumatized by it. Another mom had a kid who developed an eating disorder related to what the child experienced on the phone. So I knew 10 years ago that these phones were going to cause problems for kids. And I've literally been waiting for millennials to have their babies and be afraid so that we would have the numbers to do something about it.
Yeah, because they're the ones that grew up with it and now they're realizing
how... They actually did not grow up with it.
They did. The millennials didn't.
No.
Yeah, but their kids are the yes. ones that grew up with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you heard from experts in Georgia with heartbreaking stories, and we're going to get into that a little bit. A few who spoke either in person or remotely were parents who lost children right. to social media issues. Two Georgia dads testified about losing children to suicide. One was the father of Manny Pargman, a freshman at the University of Colorado at Boulder. We are going to play a portion of an interview with Manny's dad, Ben Pargman, when he testified. After talking about how Manny was, he knew he was a happy, fun-loving young man. He explains how the family didn't understand why he killed himself until police turned over his cell phone after his death. Now, a warning, this is very difficult to hear, but we felt it was important to understand why legislators are looking to create laws about this issue.
On his phone were repeated searches on how to kill himself. His notes app contained a journal on whether or not he deserved to live. We saw the papers that he submitted in class, papers on the effects of social media on kids' brains, how addictive it was, how hard it was to escape. Just 9 days before he killed himself, he turned in an English paper entitled "The Impact of Smartphone Use on the Mental Health of Students." The paper said, quote, "Smartphone dependency leads to increased issues with mental health of students. It leads to anxiety and depression and impairs cognitive function. Smartphones dependency is also known to make existing mental challenges worse. This is especially so in times of crisis." And even knowing that, 9 days later, he killed himself. In the days from looking at his cell phone, we determined in the days before he died, he deleted and reinstalled Instagram and TikTok about a dozen times, trying and failing to pull free. On the day he died, he watched 15 hours of TikTok videos before going out to the woods and hanging himself from a tree.
As I said, difficult to hear.
Yes.
And the fact that he understood that what was going on with him and yet felt he couldn't get out of it, I guess.
Right. And this is what was compelling about this testimony is this kid knew. This kid was writing papers on this issue in school. And that speaks to really how addictive these platforms have become. The social media companies realized that the longer they kept people engaged on the platform, the more hours people spent on it, the more money they made selling to marketers and marketing brokers. And so they started playing with the design of the platform and doing things to make it more addictive, to make the kid not be able to disengage. And that's what this father's son communicated is he tried over and over again to stop, but he couldn't do it, even knowing that it was bad for him.
Yeah. You are going to continue with your committee on all of this. There were some recommendations. Talk about that.
Right. So the committee wrote a robust plan, action plan, a legislative plan with a number of recommendations. We had bills this session that dealt with those recommendations. Some of them passed. And some of them didn't. The ones that didn't pass are really the ones where the industry brought in lobbyists to try to kill the bills, and they did. One in particular was called the App Store Accountability Act. That made it easier for parents to be able to control what their kids had access to. They would be able to enter the child's birth date into the phone, and then the apps wouldn't be able to be downloaded by a child until a parent approved the download. That did not pass. There was actually no vote taken on it. And then my bill, Senate Bill 495, got to the heart of design. It actually put guardrails on some of the addictive design features that the companies are using, and said you can't have that addictive design. You can't use that if there's a minor on your if minors are on your platform. We had a hearing for that bill, but no vote was taken. Then, because the Republican caucus decided to take this issue on as one of their priorities, the majority leader did bring a bill that put some, Senate Bill 540, that put some guardrails on companion chatbots that kids use, ensuring that these companion chatbots don't interact with a child in a sexually explicit way. Or a way that promotes emotional dependency and has some disclaimers telling the child this is not actually a human. That bill did pass the Senate floor and will be going to Representative Jones's committee in the House.
Okay. The thing is, this is not a one-off. Your committee is not a one-off. You're going to continue with it.
Yeah. All the states that I've worked with that have made progress in this area, it's been a 3 or 4 year effort. We had a bill in the Senate today that was about removing abandoned vessels from our waterways. And that author got up and said that that bill took 4 years. So okay. It's not unusual for big issues like this to take a number of years. We're just happy that we have something moving this year and that it's been a topic of conversation.
Yeah. I know what there's so much more to talk about. And I wanted to talk to you about some medical things, and I don't think we're going to get into a lot, except that I have to have you tell me, you think robots will actually be able to take blood from people at one point?
Donna, I can guarantee it because it's happening in the EU right now. And it's pretty amazing. It's basically the person sits down, they put their arm in, like you see at maybe a CVS or a Walgreens drugstore, and literally everything gets done. But what's amazing, they're using imaging to find the right vein. So they tap into the correct vein, and look, it's happening, it's already happening, and we're looking forward to the FDA approving it here in the United States.
We never have enough time to talk about all of this, but the good thing is you guys continue to do it. The legislation is important. You guys have to just keep up with it, right?
Absolutely, and for us, it's about guardrails.
Yeah.
We know that it's the private sector that's going to drive the innovation. It's up to us to put the guardrails around them. So in our mind, we saw massive innovation in the third industrial revolution. We're going to see it even bigger in the fifth industrial revolution. But I think what's going to be most important is our partnership with, we're in the guardrails, private sector will do that anyway.
Okay, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having
both
me.
Of you. I appreciate all of this.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.